This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Jason Connery, Francesca Quinn, in Casablanca Express, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada, with Jenny Steffen, Manfred Lima, Luisa Maneri, Hort Sean, David Brandon, John Evans, Marina Vero, Julia Urso, Giovanni Tamberi, Augusto Poderosi, Philip Vai, with Jean Sorel, and Donald Pleasance. And also starring Glenn Ford. Based on an original story by Roberto Leoni. Screenplay by Roberto Leoni, Ernesto Gastaldi, and Sergio Martino. Music by Luigi Ceccarelli. Music copyright by Gypsy. Production sound mixer, Vittorio Maloney. Production executive, Umberto Innocenzi. English coordinator, Gian Production Level. Costume designer, Mario Cardini. Art director, Claudio Cennini. Director of photography, Giancarlo Ferrando. Film editor, Eugenio Aladiso. The sequences in Morocco were filmed in collaboration with Abdou Achiba's Achiba Morocco production. Produced by Pietro Innocenzi for Globe Films, Diana Films, National Cinematographica, and Surf Film. Directed by Sergio Martino. In 1942, Winston Churchill meets with military advisors at Allied headquarters in North Africa.
You know, it'd be a big mistake to underestimate German intelligence.
No, I don't think those German fighters knew I was on that plane, General Williams. But the heating system simply must go.
Oh, sir, it was just a makeshift effort to try to make your trip more comfortable.
No, I appreciate your sense of humor, Colonel Batts.
Yes, sir. Anyway, the rest of your trip must be handled very carefully.
I'll put a squadron of my fighters at your disposal as of tomorrow morning.
You will understand, General. I cannot continue Operation Symbol with an American fighter escort. After all, we are in French territory, and only 2 hours from Casablanca.
Sir, a lot of Arabs look upon the Axis forces as their liberators. Your life is very much in danger.
Yes, I know. My doctor reminded me several times yesterday at Downing Street. He wants me to give up smoking.
No place in Africa is safe, and many of my countrymen have remained loyal to Pétain. Major Valmore, he has my complete trust. He'll be responsible for your security while in French territory.
The officers exchange confident looks. Later, two young men, one in uniform, the other in street clothing, stand as Churchill's advisors enter the room.
Major Valmore, Mr. Cooper there is one of the best counter-espionage agents we have in Africa, despite his young age.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The Allied Command have recommended Captain Franchetti there to flank him.
Well, you have a big responsibility, Captain. Big.
Major Valmore is in charge of Mr. Churchill's security while he's here in French territory. You two will cooperate with him.
The young man nod.
Shall we sit down, gentlemen? Please.
I've heard the Nazis already know that Mr. Churchill is here and that he'll be traveling on to Casablanca.
He should leave as soon as possible.
Mr. Churchill doesn't want our planes to escort him. And it'll take at least 2 days to get a British squadron down here.
Captain Franchetti considers this.
Well, if it's kept quiet, he could go on a cargo plane.
Yeah, but the native personnel of this airport cannot be trusted.
Well, Mr. Churchill could decide on the time of departure and just tell us 1 hour before takeoff. What no one knows, no one can tell.
Valmore reacts.
It sounds like an insult to his command.
Colonel Bat smiles.
Well, it relieves us all of responsibility.
All right. Suppose all of us get some sleep.
They all get up.
Yes, maybe it is the best way out. Good night, gentlemen.
Valmore considers a sunlit window.
Perhaps I should say good morning.
The senior officers file out. Cooper looks out a window, then exchanges a glance with Franchetti. Soldiers salute General Williams as he crosses a courtyard that contains a machine gun emplacement. A staff officer approaches him.
Message for you, sir.
Williams opens the envelope and scans the message. With a wry smile, he goes to find Churchill.
Very well, General. I will give you just 1 hour's notice. If the Germans know that I'm here, we must take all necessary precautions.
Oh, they know you're here. Matter of fact, they want to make it public. This came in on the radio.
He hands Churchill the message.
Is this going to affect your duties toward me?
No, sir.
Nevertheless, you'd like to know if it's true.
Well, if it's possible, why?
It is true, in a sense. They had a spy in Japan who was able to let us know at the end of November that 3 Japanese aircraft carriers were heading towards Hawaii. They were the most logical target, at Pearl Harbor.
Churchill sinks into a chair.
I see.
General.
Williams approaches him.
It says here, the Nazis say here, that I was the one who dragged you into this war by not informing you of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Well, I knew we had to get into this fight. We just waited too long.
Well, I agree with you, General.
My brother was at Pearl Harbor, on the Arizona.
Grim-faced, the General leaves. Cooper enters a hotel room. A uniform is hanging on a coat rack. And through the open bathroom door, he can hear the shower running. Tossing his jacket on the bed, he pulls off his tie and shrugs out of his shoulder holster. Then he unbuttons his shirt.
Up already, Lieutenant?
Dropping his shirt on the bed, he strides into the bathroom and turns the cold water on full blast.
You should wake us both up, Lieutenant.
That's evil.
Reaching into the bath, he grabs a young woman.
You're a bastard.
He sweeps the naked beauty into his arms, kissing her.
I've only got 1 hour to sleep. That's not the only thing you can do in bed.
So it's true. All you think about is my body.
Why not? We're at war. Tomorrow may be too late.
They kiss. With difficulty, she pulls away from him.
Maybe important.
He catches her.
Forget about the phone.
Breaking away from him, she lunges for the phone, overturning it. He puts a hand to her mouth.
No.
He spotted a microphone hidden under the phone. He takes the receiver from her.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. What's happening?
It's Franchetti.
Lorna?
No, it's not Lorna.
Listen, Franchetti, I'll see you there.
There where?
Stop asking stupid questions and get over there.
He hangs up in Franchetti's ear. Cooper begins tracing the microphone wire.
Darling, I hope no one else bothers us.
Nodding at her deception, he keeps following the wire.
Oh.
As Lorna gets dressed, Cooper signals that the wire leads next door.
Oh, darling, we can't. We have to be there at 9 o'clock. We better make a move.
Oh, no. Okay. But just be a minute.
Meanwhile, from across the street, two Arabs watch the front door of the hotel. Inside, Cooper listens at the door of their room as he gets dressed.
If you're ready, we can go.
I'm almost ready.
Cooper opens the door, then closes it. He listens at the door again. Gun in hand, Cooper opens the door a crack and sees an Arab pass their room, then hurry down the stairs. Cooper starts after him. At the stairs, he glances back and nods to the room next door. As Lorna hurries toward it, the Arab spy emerges from the hotel. Cooper comes up and spots the spy across the street with the two other Arabs. The spy hurries off, and the other two follow him. As Cooper watches them, Franchetti arrives on a motorcycle. Cooper signals for Franchetti to wait. Setting out after the Arabs, Cooper hurries into the crowd. Meanwhile, Lorna tries the knob of the room next door, then kicks the door in. She soon finds the microphone wire and traces it to a closet next to her room. In the busy street, Cooper chases after the fleeing Arabs. Franchetti run after Cooper. The Arabs enter a crowded marketplace and hurry through it. Cooper enters the marketplace and hesitates, looking for it. A street vendor tries to sell him a necklace. Then he sees the Arabs fleeing out the other side of the marketplace and gives chase, thrusting the man out of his way. Lorna and Franchetti reach the marketplace just in time to see Cooper disappearing out the other side. Street vendors hawking jewelry quickly surround them.
You call the military police, okay? Let's see what I can do in the meantime.
As Lorna hurries off, Franchetti drives into the vendors, smashing his way through them with his elbows and fists. Glancing back at Cooper, the Arabs split up. The spy darts through a door. Reaching the door, Cooper hesitates, then shoves it open. He makes his way through a dark entranceway into an open courtyard. He crosses the courtyard cautiously. On the far side, he spots the Arab spy talking to a European.
Something interesting?
I don't know.
Anyway, you did a good job. Is 1 hour's warning enough?
Yes, sir. I think so.
When is the time to go off?
2 hours after it's put on the plane.
The other two Arabs arrive.
Shuaji.
What is he saying?
Somebody's coming.
When the European starts to leave, Cooper pulls his gun and steps out.
Hold it right there, Montipolis.
Do I know you?
An Arab leaps on Cooper, knocking the gun from his hand. As Cooper punches the man, Franchetti enters the building and draws his gun. The Arabs pull knives and advance on Cooper. He sidesteps a lunge, slugging the man and recovering his knife. When Franchetti appears, the European fires at him. Then he shoots the Arab spy. Cooper is clubbed from behind and falls to the ground as his assailants flee. Franchetti fires after them, then runs to aid Cooper. As he helps Cooper to his feet, Lorna arrives with several military policemen.
Patrick! Where?
One of the MPs picks up Cooper's gun and brings it to him.
Your weapon, sir.
Meanwhile, the assailants get away through the crowded streets. Later, Colonel Batts enters a room at Allied headquarters.
Mr. Churchill is awaiting our conclusions before deciding.
Are you sure that that German was talking about Churchill's plane?
Pretty sure, General. Otto von Tiblis is head of German intelligence in Africa.
There's no doubt the enemy knows that the Prime Minister is here and that he'll be leaving soon. Is there any chance of postponing the operation?
No, no way. President Roosevelt has already started Operation Symbol. This part, anyway. Sit down, gentlemen.
Knowing Mr. Churchill, he'll be there to meet him. Even if it means walking.
What about a train?
Well, it's a 20-hour journey across the mountains and desert, which gives the Germans a lot of time to play with. There's never been any incidents on that line. There's always a first time. Then, of course, we have to hope the news never leaves this room.
Are you insinuating that one of us could be a spy?
You said it.
Colonel Delcoir and his adjutant have shown their loyalty to us and their hatred of Vichy France. I don't think we need to worry about the rest of us. Does the train have a sleeping car?
You can put on a special car with sleeping quarters.
Then, sir, I'll inform Mr. Churchill. Oh, and this time, for God's sake, no makeshift heating system.
Come, it's a seat of the train.
Colonel Batts and the two French officers leave the room. Cooper faces General Williams.
I suggest that Mr. Churchill's double leave at the same time.
It's a good idea. Don't let them think we've changed our plans.
Franchetti and Cooper exchange glances. Later.
Come in, General. Now, how would you like a glass of fine old cognac?
No, thank you, sir. Oh, did the Colonel inform you about the change in plans?
The train?
Yes.
Curious idea.
It is rather a long trip,
but a safe one.
All right, General. I'll go for your train.
I'll take care of security arrangements myself. Well, if I don't see you again, sir, have a good trip.
General, if you please.
Colonel Batts leaves the room as Williams turns to Churchill.
We informed President Roosevelt on the 2nd of December. He replied that he was aware of those Japanese ships because they'd been spotted by a submarine. He did not, however, believe that they were planning a surprise attack.
Excuse me, sir. I prefer to think that the president was not informed.
Later, a train backs laboriously into a station. The train, the Casablanca Express, moves slowly past the crowded platforms. Inside a separate rail car, U.S. soldiers crouch on the floor out of sight as the train backs up until it nudges the rail car. A railway worker hooks the rail car to the train as Major Valmore looks on. Scurrying along the platform, passengers hurry to get a seat on the train. Major Valmore buys a newspaper as more passengers carry boxes and baskets toward the train. In civilian clothes, Warner and Franchetti walk onto the platform and meet Cooper.
Well?
Everything seems okay.
Franchetti peers at Cooper's head.
Does it hurt?
No. What I don't understand is why he didn't kill me.
You sound almost disappointed.
Saving your enemy's life doesn't fit the Nazi image. I'm going to take another look round.
Two smartly dressed young women approach the train. As they prepare to board, one of the women smiles suggestively at a young man, then hikes up her tight skirt. The young man obligingly lifts her onto the first high step.
My compliments. Nicely built, but the perfect weight.
That's what they all say. Come on, move it.
The second woman pouts at the man.
I'm much heavier.
My name's Jason Lloyd.
I'm Olga. The heavy one's Liz. Drop it, Olga. It was just a lie.
A priest and two nuns watch as the second woman climbs aboard.
Excuse me.
Then they follow her with the young man. Franchetti and Lorna wait on the platform.
C'est interdit de monter dans les trains d'un millier. Le départ, c'est dans 10 minutes. On rappelle aux messieurs les voyageurs que le premier arrêt sera la gare de Sidi-Bel-Abbès. Le départ, c'est dans 10
minutes. Standing together, Cooper and Valmore exchange nods. Suddenly, wearing sunglasses and a hat, Churchill appears with Colonel Bass. As Churchill boards the special car, a rail worker salutes him, drawing an angry look from Colonel Batts and from Major Valmore, who follows with Cooper. Colonel Batts opens an inner door on the crouching American soldiers, some of whom start to get up.
Get your heads down, you fools!
Churchill enters.
Give the leg in.
Captain Jerry Frazier, sir. I'm responsible for your security. Sorry I can't get up. Otherwise, they'd see us from outside.
I know, Captain, even though I find it somewhat ridiculous.
Churchill leads the way into a private stateroom.
You'll be traveling with a detail of soldiers, sir. All Americans, unfortunately.
Don't be too hard on them, Colonel. Were it not for them, we'd all be speaking German.
Valmore turns to Cooper.
I put the radio transmitter on this train. We will be in constant touch.
Captain Fraser nods as Cooper stoops down beside him.
Everything seems okay, Captain, considering the short notice. When were you given your orders?
Half an hour ago.
Cooper nods, then exchanges a speculative look with Valmore. On the platform,
two copies of the Times.
Two British officers in tailored uniforms buy newspapers.
Pity it, it's a week old.
A porter drops a suitcase.
Be careful with my luggage! What's going on here? Oh, good heavens! It's got my tea set in it!
Lorna grins, and Franchetti shakes his head.
You imbecile!
As the two officers board the train.
You Brits. I think you own the world.
I get your education from Mother.
Lorna sees Cooper get off the train.
Yes, Cooper.
Cooper approaches on the platform, then smiles.
Keep your eyes open.
What on earth could happen? This is a joyride.
Excuse me, I've got to check on something.
See you in a day or two.
With a glance of Franchetti, Cooper walks off.
You know, during the course, we were taught to suspect the ones you'd never dream of suspecting. None of the passengers looks like a killer to me, so I guess that makes them all suspects.
Gosh, Franchetti, if your instructor's right, he'll win the Nobel Prize for Intelligence.
I don't get it.
I know. Don't worry about it.
Lorna and Franchetti board the train as Colonel Batts and Major Valmore get off. An Arab carrying chickens climbs aboard. In a crowded third-class car, disguised as an Arab, the European spy, Von Tiblis, conceals his face behind the scarf of his burnous. The train lumbers slowly out of the station. Valmore turns to Colonel Batts.
Goodbye, sir.
Oh, goodbye.
The Major leaves. Cooper approaches Colonel Batts.
I've just received confirmation the plane took off a couple of minutes ago, according to plan.
Good.
As the Colonel walks off, Cooper watches the train chug off into the distance. Aboard the train, a soldier in the special car turns alertly as Franchetti enters and closes the door. Franchetti steps over to a radio operator.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I just contacted headquarters.
Good. You're in constant touch.
We exchange messages every half hour.
Captain Fraser exchanges a nod with Franchetti, who leaves. In the first class carriage, Lorna takes off her hat. As Jason smokes and eyes Olga, sitting beside the priest, a gray-bearded Muslim says his prayers. The two Brits glance at him, and Olga giggles. A pretty young nanny sitting with a little girl is embarrassed.
May Allah be with you.
Thank you, brother. But we prefer different company.
The priest and nuns cross themselves.
Allah means God. My mother was from Malta, where the Christian God is also called Allah. I don't think he cares too much about names.
Who knows?
Franchetti enters the carriage. He takes the seat beside Lorna, across from the little girl and her nanny.
Everything's okay.
Do you have any children?
He and I. We aren't even married.
I know you can have children without being married.
Yes, I know, but we aren't. We...
Oh, Miriam, stop bothering people.
Back at the station, Cooper approaches two workers.
Excuse me, has the Casablanca Express left yet?
A few minutes ago, sir. Dead on time.
Yeah. I was told it would leave late today because they had to fix on a special car.
That's right, sir. We cleaned it this morning.
This morning?
The second worker interrupts to keep the first from saying more. He pulls him away.
Okay, thank you.
Aboard the train, Von Tiblis checks his watch. It's 4 p.m. Rising from his seat, he walks through the crowded third-class car. He pauses near the front of the car to peer out a window. Meanwhile, in first class...
I think that I was right to do what he did. He saved half of France from being destroyed by the Germans.
But he destroyed the alliance with the English, collaborated with the Nazis.
You keep quiet. Whose side is your Pope on, huh? He's collaborating with the fascists. They should cut his head off.
It wouldn't be the first time. St. Peter was crucified like Christ.
If Christ came back, would he collaborate with the fascists?
Didn't you just side with Pétain?
Please, gentlemen. We still have a long way to go before we reach Casablanca. If you start like this, what will the rest of the journey be like?
The priest and the Frenchman resume their seats. Back at the station, the second rail worker reports to his supervisor. His pointing finger is grabbed by Cooper.
I think you mean me. Would you mind repeating what you said in English?
Who are you?
A snooper.
He draws his pistol.
With a gun.
Shoving the worker aside, he aims at the supervisor.
But you are.
He was just giving me his work report.
This morning, you received an order to put a special car on the Casablanca Express. Who gave you the order?
Not this morning. The order arrived only an hour before the train had to leave.
And yet...
He grabs the worker.
Charlie and his friends here cleaned the car this morning.
Routine.
I don't think so. I think you put a bomb on that train. Now, call the first station. Tell them to stop and evacuate the train.
Are you crazy?
Crazy. And very dangerous.
He cocks the pistol.
Do it.
The worker attacks Cooper. As Cooper shoves him aside, a gunman suddenly appears and shoots the worker. Before he can shoot the supervisor, Cooper kills him. Then Cooper grabs the supervisor.
What did you do to the train?
Nothing, sir. We did nothing. I swear, we just cleaned and prepared the car.
Who gave you the order?
The supervisor hesitates.
Who gave you the order?
Major Valmore.
Pushing the man out of his way, Cooper leaves the office. Later, a taxi pulls to a stop outside Allied headquarters. Cooper pays the driver, then heads up the steps to the building. He approaches two MPs guarding the entrance.
I have to see General Williams right away.
Your name, Alan Cooper?
Yes.
You're under arrest, pal.
Soon after, General Williams sits at his desk, pondering.
I don't believe.
Colonel Batts confronts Cooper.
They tell me you killed a French agent.
I shot a guy who tried to kill me. Look, the only thing that matters is that train. The workers in the station, they knew about the special car this morning.
No way. The Churchill decided on the train just 2 hours before leaving.
Yes, but the idea came from Valmore.
You are saying that he is a traitor?
The train's a trap. You've got to stop it.
I don't think we should take any chances.
Valmore arrives.
You got him. That's good. He's not just a trifling soldier. He's a German spy. He broke into the traffic control room at a station, killed one of my men, and tried to force the controller to stop the Casablanca Express.
General, we're wasting time. Stop the train. It could explode at any moment while you're busy deciding which one of us is a spy.
The train left Sidi Bilabas and is running on time.
I don't know why Mr. Cooper wants so desperately to stop the train. But if you want, sir, I can order a complete check at the next station. Clemson, it's 2 hours from now.
Obviously, 2 hours is enough to fulfill Major Valmore's plans.
That's enough. That's enough, Cooper. I can't stop the train in the mountains. I've got to wait till it gets to Tillamson. Put me in touch with the Casablanca Express. Now, the both of you are going to have to stay here.
As Cooper fumes, the general presses a button on his desk, summoning the MPs.
Major Valmore and Mr. Cooper are not to leave this building until further notice.
Meanwhile, aboard the train, Von Tiblis moves through the third-class car. As the train approaches a tunnel, he chats with a couple of Arabs. Entering the tunnel, the car is plunged into darkness. When the train leaves the tunnel, the perplexed Arabs look around for Von Tiblis, who's vanished. Von Tiblis is now on top of the train, shedding his disguise. Drawing a gun, he starts toward the locomotive. In the first-class carriage, Franchitti suddenly looks up.
Did you hear that?
What?
Thud.
He gets up, listening intently.
I'm gonna go take a look.
Atop the train, Von Tiblis leaps from one car to the next. Franchetti emerges from the first class carriage, then lifts himself up to view the tops of the cars. Seeing a remnant of Von Tiblis's disguise, he climbs onto the roof to investigate. Von Tiblis has disappeared. Drawing his gun, Franchetti starts toward the locomotive, slipping and sliding precariously as he goes. Nearing the front of the carriage, he pauses. As he looks back, Von Tiblis leaps up from between the cars, grabbing his ankles and jerking him. Franchetti tumbles to the roof, losing his gun, but he gets up in time to meet the German's attack. The two men punch and kick at each other, trying to gain an advantage. Franchetti pounces on his opponent, pinning him. But Von Tiblis slowly muscles Franchetti toward the edge of the roof and almost pushes him over. Franchetti headbutts him, breaking the German's grip. Then the two scramble for position. Standing toe to toe, the men slug each other. Franchetti falls, gashing his left shoulder. When he kicks at the German, Von Tiblis grabs his leg and twists it, forcing him over the edge. Franchetti swings over the side. He smashes through a window beside the priest, then hangs there precariously. Lorna rushes to his rescue.
Help! Will you help me?
Jason pushes past the stunned Brits and helps Lorna haul Franchetti into the carriage.
He's bleeding.
They lower him onto a seat.
Are you all right, Julia?
Take care of
him. Yes, I'm all right.
Let me through.
Lorna pushes through the onlookers and out the door. Drawing her gun, she climbs up for a look. When she sees no one, she climbs down and makes her way to the special car where she finds Fraser.
Captain Fraser, there's a killer on the train.
Did you say killer, ma'am?
There was a man on the roof. He might throw a grenade into the Prime Minister's compartment or blow up the whole train. We have to catch him first.
Right. We've got orders over the radio a while ago. We're going to be in Tillamsen in a while. We're going to stop and check every inch of every car.
It may be too late, Captain.
Fraser steps to an emergency alarm and pulls it. But it doesn't work. Meanwhile, in the locomotive, a stoker shovels coal into the firebox beside the engineer. Von Tiblis appears.
He's feeding the boiler!
When the stoker swings a shovel at him, Von Tiblis slugs the man, knocking him off the train.
More coal, unless you join your friends.
The engineer hesitates.
Schneller!
At gunpoint, the engineer begins to shovel, while Von Tiblis takes the throttle. Fraser, followed by Lorna, steps to the radio operator.
Call headquarters. Tell them we're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
The train's accelerating.
You, and you, and you, follow me!
The soldiers head for the door. Ignoring the station master's flag, the train rumbles past Tlemcen Station. Fraser leads his men onto the roof of the train. Clutching their weapons, the four soldiers head cautiously toward the locomotive. At at the throttle, Von Tiblis checks his watch. Then looks back at the train, but can't see over the roof of the first car.
Hey! 911's a call and tell me if you see anyone coming! I lost control!
The engineer climbs onto the coal car and peers over the roof. Seeing the soldiers, he turns back to Von Tiblis.
There's nobody here!
Suspicious, Von Tiblis sticks his head out a side window and sees the soldiers. He shoots the engineer, and the soldiers drop to their stomachs. When Von Tiblis returns to the controls, the soldiers advance cautiously. Von Tiblis finds the brake lever. When he yanks on it, sparks fly from the wheels, and two soldiers are thrown off the roof. Grinning, Von Tiblis releases the brake. Franchetti's wounds are tended.
You okay? Yeah?
He nods. Fraser and the other soldier crouch down at the front of a car as the train enters a tunnel. Von Tiblis hits the brake, and the soldier tumbles forward between the cars. Fraser grabs his wrist, and the man dangles there, with the tracks rushing by beneath him. When Von Tiblis yanks the brake again, the soldier falls beneath the wheels, and Fraser is thrown down onto the coupling between the cars. Inside, Jason has been thrown on Olga.
Well, they say there's good and bad to everything.
He pats her thigh as he gets up.
Anytime. Come on, Olga. Sit up straight.
Franchetti leaves his seat. Behind him, a suitcase spills open.
Would you mind not touching my things?
Olga picks up a photo of a handsome man.
With love, Arthur. I wonder who's
Barry,
Arthur he is.
Would you help me?
I'm here, Julian. Stop being hysterical.
Oh, don't be silly.
As night falls, the train rumbles onward. Inside the special car, the radio operator turns to Franchetti.
I can't get through, sir. We're getting too much interference from the mountains.
Lorna steps toward him.
How'd you feel?
Don't worry about me.
Above, dozens of parachutes blossom in the night sky. Meanwhile, Franchetti gets a machine gun.
I got through, sir.
Wait, we're stopping.
Go to Churchill.
As the train slows to a halt, Captain Fraser lifts his head and sees paratroopers landing nearby. Lorna enters Churchill's stateroom.
Excuse me, sir. I'm Lieutenant Lorna Fisher.
What are you doing?
I must ask you to stay down. There's a saboteur aboard the train.
Von Tiblis grins at the paratroopers. Then...
Hey, watch out! We're under attack! German paratroopers! We're under attack!
Von Tiblis shoots Fraser. The American soldiers pour out of the special car and begin firing at the paratroopers, who deploy and fire back. Bullets ricochet inside the first-class carriage, terrifying the passengers. As glass and bullets spray around them, the passengers huddle on the floor. A German trooper riddles the train with heavy machine gun fire, killing two passengers. In the stateroom...
You're the target, sir.
They're going through a hell of a lot of trouble. They obviously want me alive.
When Lorna shoots at the troopers, a hail of bullets rips through the compartment. In the first-class carriage, one of the nuns is hit.
No! She's dead! She's dead, Father!
The troopers advance. In the stateroom...
Is everything all right, sir?
Yes, I think so. Apart from the sharp edges of this suitcase...
In first class, the little girl cowers. Drawing their pistols, the two British officers begin firing through the window at the advancing troopers. One of the Brits is killed.
Hurry! Hurry!
And then the other. Panicking, the little girl runs and is shot. The nanny rushes to her. When the little girl is turned over, she's still alive. The priest offers his handkerchief as a dressing for the girl's wound. Outside, a heavy machine gun rakes the train with bullets.
We gotta knock out that machine gun, for God's sakes!
Clutching his weapon, Franchetti jumps off the train. He finds cover behind crates dropped with the troopers. The dead British officers' pistols are taken from their hands a moment before...
Action! Nobody move!
Two troopers enter the carriage.
Nobody!
Stay calm.
Jason hides with the pistols at the ready.
Stop this nonsense. We are civilians.
The troopers riddle the priest with bullets. Leaning out, Jason shoots one trooper, then the other. Outside, Franchetti pulls the pin on a grenade and hurls it at the machine gun emplacement. He scores a direct hit. But as he gets up, Von Tiblis shoots him, and he falls face first to the ground. Von Tiblis converges on him with a dozen troopers.
Parkman, follow me in Churchill's compartment. You cover us. You better get in, man. Los!
As the Germans run off, Franchetti lifts his head cautiously.
Need help.
In the special car, the radio operator is shot by Von Tiblis.
Seize the radio.
Von Tiblis enters the stateroom.
Hands up.
Lorna stands with Churchill.
Looking for me.
Herr Churchill, you are now the personal prisoner of the Führer.
Soon after, at Allied headquarters,
Herr Churchill is our prisoner.
A message is played back.
1 hour after dawn, a German plane will enter Algerian airspace and land in the desert near the train. We are mining the train. Any action aimed at stopping our plan will provoke immediate detonation, resulting in the death of Herr Churchill and all the passengers.
Cooper, Williams, and the other officers look at Valmore.
Major Valmore.
Colonel Delcroix steps over to him.
You are a traitor to France.
Vichy France is with the Third Reich. You are a traitor.
You will be court-martialed and shot.
Death is part of a soldier's life. Remember that when your turn will come.
Valmore is led away by MPs. At the door, he turns back to glare at Cooper. Then he turns on his heel and walks out.
You were right, Mr. Cooper, but I didn't have enough evidence.
I understand that, General. Otto von Tiblis's plan is pure genius. He led me into the Medina to make us think he intended blowing up Mr. Churchill's plane so that with Valmore's help, we'd go for the train idea and he'd take the Prime Minister alive.
We can't let Hitler fly our Prime Minister to Berlin. I'm sure he'd rather die.
I understand the British point of view, Colonel. But that train is also carrying about 100 passengers and suitcases holding documents. We must not allow to fall into enemy hands.
But, sir, General, if we allow Hitler to fly Mr. Churchill to Berlin, he'll parade him around like some circus animal. The morale of our troops will fall, not to mention England's honor.
Forgive me, with all due respect, a dead Churchill is just as unthinkable as an imprisoned Churchill. Right? Well, a trainload of Marines has already left Casablanca on the way to that damn trap. But they have orders to do nothing, to stay there, 4 miles away, until we can find a way to keep that train from being blown sky high.
Looking at a small model of the train on a table, Cooper has an idea.
There is a chance.
Well, if you have a plan, let's hear it.
Studying the model, Cooper moves around the table.
I'll need some special equipment.
How many men?
Just me.
Colonel, did you hear what I heard?
Cooper. Alan, this is a highly dangerous, desperate situation. Alone, I doubt if even you could...
I know. I can do it, sir.
Cooper is our expert in impossible operations. Anyway, we don't have any choice. What is your plan?
Demine the train. When I've done that, I'll send you a radio signal, and you can attack in force.
Very well, Cooper.
Moving close to Cooper, Colonel Batts whispers in his ear.
If you can't take him alive,
kill him.
You send the signal, and the Marines will be there.
Cooper leaves. With the train and passengers now under his control, Von Tiblis deploys his troopers. Von Tiblis approaches a trooper.
Position yourselves 200 meters from the train. If he hears the sound of engines, fire in the air.
You think they'll try something?
What would you do in their place?
Obey the Führer. Better to die than to be taken prisoner.
I think they'd agree with you. If they send paratroopers, we hear the planes.
A trooper attaches a bundle of dynamite sticks to the train's undercarriage. In the dark, two figures ride camels across the desert. One of them is Cooper. He checks his watch. And then rides on with his Moroccan guide. Beside the train, as troopers hurry to carry out his commands, Von Tiblis steps over to a radio technician.
The pilot of the plane, sir. He has just crossed the coast. Estimated time of arrival, 03 hours, 15 minutes. He's asking for confirmation.
Okay. Von Tiblis takes the handset.
Situation under control. Landing confirmed 20 kilometers east of Tillamson as stipulated. Immediately after dawn. Just follow the railway tracks and you'll find us.
He hangs up.
Los, schlaf nicht ein, Männer. Wie lange dauert denn das noch?
Meanwhile, Cooper checks a map. Then consults his guide, who points out the rail line. Then the two set off again. In the stateroom, a trooper with a machine gun guards Churchill and Lorna.
What's the weather like in Berlin?
Don't know, sir. I'm from Vienna, sir.
You smoke, young man?
Yes, sir.
Then would you give me a light? Or does that constitute collaboration with the enemy?
That's fun, sir.
Churchill steps in front of the trooper, momentarily blocking his view, and allowing Lorna to climb out a window. She tumbles to the ground. When she looks up, she sees Von Tiblis.
Do you think we are so stupid?
Cooper has dismounted from his camel. Carrying a pack, he climbs a hill. He turns back near the top and waves to his guide. Cautiously, he peers over the crest of the hill at the distant train. Von Tiblis enters the stateroom.
Churchill, you were party to her attempted escape. I warn you. They have orders to kill if you try to do the same.
Churchill stands to confront him.
You wouldn't dare. Uncle Adolf wants me alive.
Furious, Von Tiblis turns away. Cooper approaches the train. Crouching down, he pulls out a crossbow. Nearby, a patrolling German trooper probes the darkness with a flashlight. Cooper loads a bolt into the crossbow. As the flashlight finds him, he fires, and the trooper collapses. Reloading quickly, Cooper takes down another sentry. Then, gathering his gear and keeping low, He begins making his way toward the train. Meanwhile, Lorna's hands are tied over her head to the open door of a freight car. When she knees a trooper, he slaps her.
Not be able to escape now, Florian.
A sergeant details one trooper to guard her and leads the others off. Glancing past her guard, Lorna sees Cooper duck behind the end of the train. Crouching under the last car, Cooper shrugs off his pack. Meanwhile, on his belly, Franchetti inches painfully along beneath the train. Recovering a machine gun from a dead trooper, he cocks it. Then, grimacing, he crawls on, leaking blood from his wounds. After noticing Lorna's predicament, Cooper spots a dynamite charge just above him. Pulling out a pair of wire cutters, he cuts the wire to the detonator, defusing the charge. Then he spots Franchetti crawling across the tracks ahead of him. Hiding his back in the undercarriage, Cooper picks up his crossbow and then crawls toward Franchetti, who is intent on rescuing Lorna. He's aiming at her guard when Cooper reaches him.
No! Your bell is all up.
It's about time you guys got here.
I'm alone. How bad does it hurt? It's one I laugh. Listen. I need your help. It looks like they put dynamite under every carriage. Now, I managed to cut a couple of wires down there. But I need you to crawl under the train and cut the rest of the wires. Can you do that?
Franchetti nods weakly and puts down his gun. The sound alerts the guard. But Lorna distracts him.
Hey!
She smiles at the young guard suggestively.
How about it, soldier?
Relieved, Franchetti and Cooper prepare to set out.
Well?
As Lorna shows off her leg to the guard, Franchetti crawls to the next charge of dynamite and struggles one-handed to cut the wire. Behind him, Cooper slips a bolt into the crossbow. Meanwhile, the little girl winces in pain as Jason probes her wound with his fingers. The young nanny comforts her. Olga and Liz watch anxiously. At last, Jason holds up a blood-soaked slug.
I need some silk for the stitches.
A woman looks up.
Here, I have a needle. Oh, gosh, these are silk.
The nun watches Olga slice her silk stocking with a knife.
Gee, if you know what I had to go through to get a pair of these.
Olga!
She pulls out a silk thread and hands it to Jason.
No, really. I'm glad I could help.
Yes.
Can you do this?
The woman who gave Jason the needle threads it for him.
Thank you.
Steeling himself, he bends toward the girl.
This is gonna hurt.
Oh, me
but
now.
Not too much.
Don't scream. Otherwise, they will hear.
I'm screaming inside.
As Jason stitches, The nun slips into the next compartment, where the wounded priest is being tended by the gray-bearded Muslim. Kneeling beside the priest, she gives him a comforting nod. Out of the train, Franchetti reaches the next charge. Maneuvering the cutters into position, he cuts the wire. With the tip of his rifle barrel, Lorna's guard lifts the hem of her skirt above her thighs. Lorna smiles at him. Then she nods suggestively toward the freight car just behind her. After looking along the train in both directions, the guard unties her. Under the train, Franchetti wriggles toward the next charge. The guard lifts Lorna into the freight car, then joins her. Crossbow in hand, Cooper crawls out from under the train as the guard gropes at Lorna. Crouching outside the open door of the freight car, Cooper takes aim and fires. The guard collapses on Lorna, who thrusts him off.
Come on!
Beneath the train, Franchetti has defused another bundle of dynamite. Lorna joins Cooper.
Any longer, and I'd have been raising a family.
You did a great job of distracting him.
How did you get here?
On a plane to Tillamson, on the hump of a camel.
They move off cautiously. Behind them, a patrolling trooper reaches the freight car and stops.
Alarm! Alarm! There's Mädchen ist weg! Schnell! Schnell!
Franchetti flattens himself between the rails. As Lorna and Cooper take cover under the train, Von Tiblis runs up to the freight car.
Yes, Tut.
The enemy's here. I don't know how they got here, but they must be hiding on the train. Durchsucht den Zug, ihr Gitarren, und ihr Dalang. Und macht die Lampen aus.
Under the train,
Franchetti's further down the train, cutting the explosive charges. The Americans will only attack after they receive a radio signal.
Otherwise, to hell with Church.
Looks that way. The radio's inside. All you have to do is turn the red handle. Once you've done that, it'll send a fixed signal. Now you get back on the train. If Franchetti did all right, turn the handle. Listen, turn it even if he didn't. Bat says old Winston would rather die than be taken prisoner. I don't know about that. But he gives the orders. It'll soon be sun up. I'll create a diversion. You get back on the train. No, no more distracting German soldiers.
You say that again. You'll be all right.
I'll see you later on the train.
Cooper crawls off.
Durchsucht den Wagen!
As troopers run by, Lorna clutches the radio and hides behind a train wheel. Back at Allied headquarters,
the German plane is about to enter our anti-aircraft range.
Turning from a wall map, General Williams steps over to a telephone.
Send up the fighters. Squadrons 1 and 2. Ready to fire.
If the German plane feels threatened, it may be the end.
Oh, no, no, no. We're just offering them an escort.
Under the train, Franchetti cuts another wire. With troopers closing in on his position, Franchetti struggles to pull himself up into the car's undercarriage. Just as a trooper crouches down and shines a flashlight under the car. Finding nothing, the trooper withdraws. Franchetti drops down to the ground, his face contorted with agony. Lorna is inching along under the train with the radio. When a trooper crouches nearby to look under the train, before he spots her, Cooper darts up. He kills two men with a heavy machine gun and charges toward their position, firing as he goes to pin down the other troopers.
Take him alive, he's alone!
Cooper reaches the heavy machine gun. As he turns it on the troopers, Lorna crawls along under the train with the radio. Cooper blasts away from his protected position, keeping the troopers pinned down behind the train, and killing any who showed themselves. Von Tiblis crawls away from the train. On his back, under the train, Franchetti manages to cut another wire. Cooper continues blazing away, killing several more troopers. Then his machine gun jams. As he struggles to fix it,
hands above your head.
Von Tiblis is circled around behind him.
Mr. Cooper.
Herr Oberstleutnant, Gefangenen! Schnell!
Smiling triumphantly, he kicks Cooper in the stomach. Franchetti, grimacing in pain, inches forward beneath the train. Lorna pokes her head up between two cars.
Stay inside, nobody.
While troopers force frightened passengers back into their cars,
inside.
Lorna slips aboard the train with the radio.
Schnell, schnell! Durchsuch den nächsten Wagen!
As the troopers search the train for her,
let me through.
She carries the radio through the first-class carriage. Entering the next compartment, she closes the door behind her.
Hurry! Follow me!
Jason and another man with a rifle follow her to the far end of the compartment, where she pushes aside a dead trooper and crouches over the radio.
Stay off!
Troopers shoulder through the first compartment.
Move! Move! Move!
With his gun barrel, one smashes in the door to the second compartment. He spots the dead trooper. Liz panics as he steps through the door. When she tries to flee, he shoots her in the back. She sinks to the floor. As the other man steps out into the aisle, the trooper blasts him before he can fire. Still hidden, Jason pulls out a knife. Outside...
Did you find the girl?
Nein, Herr Oberst.
Herr Oberst!
Von Tiblis runs toward the window of the second compartment.
What the hell is going on in there?
A man tried to kill me.
Out of sight, Jason holds the trooper at knife point.
I told you not to kill civilians, idiot.
Von Tiblis checks his watch.
We have to find that blonde girl. Lass uns sie erwischen, versteht ihr?
Cooper, who's been beaten unconscious, comes to. Lifting his head slightly, he glimpses Franchetti crawling under the train and grins to himself.
Pull him up.
At Von Tiblis' order, a trooper jerks Cooper to his feet. When Von Tiblis looks suspiciously at the train...
Is it true Adolf Hitler fucks your whore of a mother?
He backhands Cooper.
I will kill you. But first you tell me how you got here and what the Americans are planning.
In the second compartment, Jason knifes the trooper. Under the train, Franchetti reaches one more bundle of dynamite. Cutting the detonator wire, he slumps back, exhausted. Meanwhile, Jason hands Lorna a machine gun.
Yeah, you obviously know how to use this.
He looks at the radio.
What's that?
She cranks the handle.
A radio beacon. It will send an SOS. In the meantime, we've got to do the job ourselves.
At headquarters, General Williams and the others surround a large map.
There he is.
And he's within our range.
A signal, sir. It's coming in loud and clear.
General Williams, with Colonel Batts and Colonel Delcroix, approaches the radio operator.
That Cooper is a lion.
Williams grabs a phone.
This is General Williams. We go with plan two. Signal the anti-aircraft and the fighters. I want that plane blown right out of the sky. Give the Marines a green light. Get me a plane. I'm going to Tillamson. They have a airstrip right...
He points to a map.
Right about here. Right there, exactly. See?
Back at the train, a trooper pours Von Tiblis a cup of steaming hot coffee.
I know your English prefer tea, but you can't have everything in life.
He flings the scalding coffee in Cooper's face.
How did you get here?
Like an Arab.
How did you get here?
By camel.
What are your orders?
To kill all of you, and then free Churchill.
The radio technician jumps up.
A message from Berlin. The plane has been shot down. The Führer's personal orders are to blow up the train.
Von Tiblis is surprised by this. As he turns suspiciously to Cooper. Far off in the distance, a train is approaching. Crawling from under the train, Franchetti picks up a machine gun.
Let him go.
As Von Tiblis steps towards Cooper, Franchetti opens fire. Jason and Lorna join in from the train. Caught in the open, the Germans are mowed down. But Von Tiblis blazes away at Franchetti with a heavy machine gun, riddling him with bullets. As Cooper watches helplessly, Franchetti dies. Before Von Tiblis can reload, Cooper charges him. He shoves Cooper aside. Lorna fires at him. But when he grabs another weapon, she ducks back into the train. Cooper leaps on Von Tiblis. He gets in two punches, but Von Tiblis blocks the next and flips him to the ground. When Von Tiblis turns toward the detonator, Cooper trips him and gets kicked in the head. As they struggle with each other, two troopers threaten the passengers, shooting one. Jason blasts him, but takes a bullet in the shoulder. Lorna pulls him into the compartment. Von Tiblis gets away from Cooper, but before he can reach the detonator, Cooper kicks him in the stomach. From the train, a trooper opens fire. Shot in the leg, Cooper collapses in agony. Grinning, Von Tiblis gets up and steps over to the detonator. He slams the plunger down. In disbelief, he slams it down again. Cooper chuckles.
Up Hitler's ass.
Kill Churchill!
As Lorna rushes off, Von Tiblis scrambles toward a machine gun, but Cooper cuts him off. In the stateroom, Churchill's guards are preparing to shoot him when Lorna lurches into the doorway and blasts them.
Thanks.
Von Tiblis gets the gun and clouts Cooper with it.
Stop right there!
Lorna fires a warning burst from the train. Von Tiblis drags Cooper to his feet. Using him as a shield, the German starts toward the locomotive. Closer now, the other train steams across the desert. Von Tiblis fires a burst at Lorna. Reaching the locomotive, he dumps Cooper on the ground. He fires another shot at Lorna, then aims at Cooper. But Cooper rolls onto the train. A burst from Lorna wounds Von Tiblis in the arm as he climbs into the locomotive. With his good arm, he struggles to release the brake lever. As the train begins to move, Cooper rolls out from under it. Von Tiblis stokes the firebox. Limping on his wounded leg, Cooper grabs onto the next car and is pulled off his feet as the train picks up speed. Lorna sees him and starts toward him through the train. With a mighty heave, Cooper pulls himself up onto the coupling between the cars. As Lorna opens the door of the car behind him, Cooper, his face contorted with pain, goes to work on the coupling. Meanwhile, loaded with soldiers, the Allied train rushes forward. The Casablanca Express steams toward, picking up speed. Cooper strains with the coupling, but to no avail.
Try for this!
Lorna hands him her gun. He fires a burst at the locking panel. When that doesn't work, he hammers at the coupling with the gun butt, and the locking pin begins to move. In the locomotive, blood seeps from Von Tiblis' wounded arm, and he grips the throttle to keep from falling. As the Allied train draws closer, Cooper struggles to unscrew the coupling. And Von Tiblis struggles to keep his grip on the throttle. When he sees the Allied train dead ahead of him, Von Tiblis begins to revive. Cooper releases the coupling. He grins up at Lorna as the locomotive carries him away from her and the rest of the train. Aboard the Allied train, a soldier stares at the locomotive steaming toward them.
Brake! Or we all get killed! Brake!
Von Tiblis grins as the two trains rush toward each other.
Get ready to open fire!
Cooper leaps clear as the soldiers aim a bazooka.
Fire!
The locomotive explodes in a ball of flame.
All right, on the double. Secure that train.
As Allied soldiers rush forward, the rest of the train rolls to a stop, and Lorna jumps down. Passing the shattered locomotive, a soldier peers inside.
This guy's dead!
He leaves the charred corpse and runs on.
All right, let's go! Look alive here!
Lorna reaches Cooper.
Don't worry, I'll take care of him.
Search this train! Medic! Put your wounded on
the third car! His arm over her shoulders, she helps him to his feet, and they head back to the train. Aboard it, a medic gently lifts the little girl in his arms.
Get the men out here to carry on the wounded! By the devil!
He carries her over to a stretcher near Jason.
You're a brave little girl, and that man just saved your life.
Are you giving him an injection too?
Sure. This is a new medicine.
Will it bring the dead back to life?
No, but it cures just about everything.
Ouch!
Did that hurt?
Yes. He should have done it.
Jason grins.
What is that stuff?
Not an easy name to remember. Penicillin.
Excuse me. Is there a Catholic chaplain here?
A woman shakes her head.
Will you come with me, please?
As the medic gets up, the little girl's nanny smiles at her.
Feel better now?
The gray-bearded Muslim leads the medic to the priest. The medic checks the priest's pulse and shakes his head to the nun's sorrow. White-faced, the priest gasps for breath.
I wish to confess, Father, but I am not.
But you can. First, make the sign of the cross on his forehead, and then repeat after me. I absolve you. In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And the Son.
And the Son.
And the Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost.
With a little tremor, the priest dies. Gently, the gray-bearded Muslim closes the priest's eyes.
And may Allah be with you, brother.
In his stateroom, Churchill picks up his cane and puts on his hat. At the door, he turns to look back at the room. Then he goes out. Outside, a jeep full of officers arrives. The Allied soldiers salute Churchill as he climbs down from the train. More jeeps arrive. General Williams gets out of one and steps forward to greet Churchill. Not far away, Lorna and Cooper watch. Churchill steps past General Williams, who then makes his way over to Cooper and Lorna.
Thank you.
Looking past the general, Cooper sees Churchill make a V for victory sign before getting into a jeep.
I wouldn't mind if Mr. Churchill thanked me too.
Oh, he will, but not now. I'm recommending you for a medal and a long vacation. But Churchill, the real Churchill, has been in Casablanca since yesterday. The Prime Minister at the last moment changed his mind and decided to go by plane and let his double take the train.
Cooper is outraged.
Shit, General. Shit. Franchitti's dead. Like a lot of other people.
We had to save Mr. Churchill. And we did. I'm sure you realize that undercover work is hazardous and deceptive. But without that, a lot of the real action would go up in smoke. Well done.
The general marches off. With a look of despair, Cooper and Lorna watch him go.
Let's go.
He slips an arm around her shoulders, and they head off together, leaving the Casablanca Express behind. This described version of Casablanca Express was created by AudioVision Canada. The narrative description was written by Marco Soren and Peter Agnes, narrated by George Thompson, and produced by Marco Soren and Valerie Hunter. The cast: Cooper, Jason Connery, Franchitti, Francesco Quinn, Lorna, Jenny Stafford, Von Tiblis, Manfred Lehman, Major Valmore, Jean Sorel, Colonel Bass, Donald Pleasance, General Williams, Glenn Ford, Jason, David Brandon. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from AudioVision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.